Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Some kids have and some kids don't. It's Ryan Kelly Morning After, 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM. Doug, we're on FM.
Are we really? Boy, that's new, isn't it?
No, it isn't.
That's about 10 years ago?
3 years?
3 years. 3, 10, something like that.
InsideSTL.com. Business been around for 12 years. How about that?
That's a long time. It's a nice little run.
We're broadcasting live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. You are welcome to get involved anytime you want. 855-282-8255, 855-282-8255, 855-CUB-TALK is how you can get involved on the radio program. Closing out the Design Air Heating and Cooling 7 o'clock hour. Design Air, the sponsor of our 7 o'clock hour. And Design Air, we are all customers of Design Air here on this radio program, and we recommend Design Air to you, our fine audience, on this radio program. It's important to have your furnace checked every year to ensure safe and efficient operations, so I recommend that you call Design Air, who have been serving St. Louis since 1904. Seth Goldkamp and his family are fourth-generation owners. Design Air technicians don't work on commission, and they provide fast and friendly maintenance or emergency service. Doug, the cat, and I are all Design Air customers. Schedule your fall furnace check today at 314-739-1600 or go online at designairservice.com. If you're in the market for a new furnace, be like Doug and make your house more comfortable than you ever imagined. Again, that's 314-739-1600 or designairservice.com. Design Air is the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train.
That's what I did. Boy, they really did a fantastic job with my house.
You love it.
Yeah, it's completely different. The warm weather, I used to say, uh-oh. It just walking up the steps, you could feel it was 15 degrees warmer up there. Now, not anymore. And, boy, I got what I want. I got cool air everywhere. Thank you, Design.
You were a lovable sort beforehand, but I think even more so now. Well, even more so,
much cooler.
Thank you, Design Air.
Yeah. Al Michaels had to issue an apology, Doug.
Yeah, I heard that.
Take
he
a
said
listen.
Something, Harvey
yeah,
Weinstein.
That's right. Here's what he said during the Broncos-Giants game last night on NBC.
All right, hit the lever, Plowsy. Hit it hard.
I mean, let's face it. The Giants are coming off a worse week than Harvey Weinstein. And they're up by 14 points.
He had to apologize for that?
So I heard, right when I happened to be watching that, right when I heard him say that, I'm like, oh, boy. Because I know what's coming. And then you have the inevitable articles where Al Michaels is experiencing backlash for comments, and then it's like, you know, Tunnels 12,000 on Twitter tweeting how offended he was. And so about, I don't know, half hour later, here is Al Michaels.
Back in Denver. Sorry, I made a reference earlier before. Tried to be a little flip about somebody obviously very much in the news all over the country, and was not meant in that manner. So my apologies, and we'll just leave it at that. We'll leave it
there.
Yep.
Goodbye.
Yep.
Don't have to apologize, Al.
He sounded pissed. That was the first
he
apology.
He sounded pissed that he like
had to apologize. Yeah, that was the first apology or, you know, that I've heard on live television that he just seemed like he just did not want to apologize for.
Well, the games are on NBC, right?
Yeah.
NBC run by
Sunday
friends
night
of Harvey Weinstein. They probably didn't appreciate it. The bosses
probably
didn't care
for what Sunday Night Football
is
broadcast on.
I don't think it's NBC. That.
This is the network that killed the story on him initially.
Yeah, I don't think it's that. I don't think it's that. I think it's, look, this story, we only really know the basics, and it could go much deeper where more and more people suffered. So, and again, I'm not saying he should have apologized, but I'm trying to understand it. I don't think it's they were pro Weinstein. I think it was there's so many victims, and it could be much worse. So to sort of make a joke about it in regard to a team having a bad first half is maybe inappropriate. I'm trying to understand.
I think it is going to get much worse.
I agree.
It's going to keep going and going and going.
Yep.
I hope that they drain that swamp out there in Hollywood and get rid of those predators. That's just unbelievable what they put people through. Unbelievable.
Well, unfortunately, I don't think it's limited to Hollywood. I think it goes on more than we care to admit to ourselves.
I think it probably does.
Everywhere.
I don't know that it goes on anymore. I don't know that you would have people more willing to do that, more willing to fall victim to that because of the outrageous dollars involved. You know, if you're trying to become an accountant somewhere and the boss wants you to sleep with him, I think it'd be a lot easier to say, yeah, no thanks. Whereas in Hollywood, you know, there's only so many studios making money and you got a chance to make crazy money out there. I think it probably happens more there than anywhere else, but it does happen other places.
That's my belief as to why he got backlash and probably was told to make some sort of apology. He is Al Michaels. His reputation is pristine, pretty much, right?
Yeah, well, I don't really think that he was
lessening the horrors
that people went through.
At all. And but I take him, I honestly think,
I wouldn't discount an NBC executive calling Al Michaels and say, you're going to apologize for that. NBC's got nothing to be proud of the way they handle the whole thing either.
Yeah, but I can't imagine that's the reason. But who knows? It'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out.
That's nice. The last word on that.
Kind of nice. Kind of a nice tagline right there. I liked it. Doug, how'd you do in your picks this weekend?
My lock of the week was Clemson 23.5. And they not only didn't cover 23.5, they lost by 3. So I missed the lock by, 27 points?
Yeah, but, that's within the range of error.
Yeah. I did not see that coming. So I'd say my picks didn't go well.
I didn't realize at all that a lot of people were really high on the under on Georgia-Missouri. And then I realized this after the fact that I made the over my lock of the week. Then I'm going, oh, God, maybe I miscalculated this. But in my mind, I'm like, there's no way Missouri's going to hold them under 40. And I felt like Georgia was vulnerable to deep pass plays, which is really the only way Missouri can move the football. So that was my reasoning for thinking it was going to be an easy. When I saw the number at 56, I'm like, oh, my God. But Clay Travis, we just played part of his podcast, who has usually done pretty well with his picks. I don't think it's going well here over the last 3 weeks for him. He started off like a 75% clip against the spread for his 10 games he releases each week. But he was on Georgia minus 30 and the under. I was on Missouri plus 30 and the over, and happened to hit both in that Georgia-Missouri over. Nearly covered. Did it cover in the first half, Iggy? Because you were texting me while it was going on.
I think we needed a field goal in the second half.
Yeah, that's it. So
it was like stealing.
Yeah, I mean, the Missouri defense just isn't going to stop Georgia. And even though Georgia is a team that might get in the national championship picture.
It could, yeah.
Now, yeah.
Missouri just heaving the ball up. I mean, hell, Emmanuel Hall was wide open. I'm getting really inside baseball, pretending like people know who he is. He's a Missouri wide receiver. was wide open in the first quarter, and either he lost the ball in the lights or lock overthrew him. I think Hall lost the ball in the lights because that would have been another touchdown. So George is just very vulnerable to that. So as far as a potential team that could beat them, keep an eye on that, because their secondary seriously was a little shifty there in the first half. But if you are looking to wager, and Doug, I went 6-1 on our picks this week, which restores some order. If you're watching the games, it's time to start making money. MyBookie is the industry-leading website that hooks you up for all your betting needs. And with their great odds, fast payouts, and decades of expertise, you can bet with confidence. Your team doesn't even have to win. They just need to cover the spread. What are you waiting for? Lay down some cash and win big today. Or if you know your team sucks, do yourself a favor and bet against them. If they lose, you'll make money, and if they win, you'll still be happy. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. That's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. I trust them, but you don't have to take my word for it. Check them out for yourself. They have in-game live betting and a mobile site that makes wagering on the go easier than ever. You can also check out their online casino. If you'd rather just play a few hands of blackjack or roll the dice and craps, join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 100% bonus. Use promo code RADIO to activate the offer. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. It's mybookie.ag. On the Four Seasons Penske Truck Captain's Log, TJ Moe going to be with us coming up at 9 o'clock. Your hot shots, email of the day, the morning after at insidestl.com, the morning after at insidestl.com. Don't forget, Reka Vodka is the official vodka of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Skull. That's cheers in Icelandic, Doug.
Yeah, I know it is.
But disgusting. You say it's Skull at Vikings game, and the guy who plays the Mountain on Game of Thrones, which I know you don't watch, but no. He watches, plays mine. He was at the Vikings game yesterday talking to Roger Goodell. You see that picture?
Oh, was he?
Yeah, and he's wearing a skull hat. Oh, my word.
He looks like an offensive line.
It'd be nice if he kicked the crap out of him.
And Aaron Rodgers, done for the year, most likely, with a broken collarbone.
Sorry, Plowsy.
Plowhawk, a lot of people, I'm sure, were on the Packers, -3.5. That's a tradition for the Packers to lose to Minnesota, it seems, where everybody bets on them. Your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers?
The season's pretty much, I mean, I've seen Brent Hundley play. He's a decent player, but the offensive line issues Aaron Rodgers is fine with offensive line issues because he's a smart quarterback, can get out of the pocket, can let, you know, throw the ball away when need to or run when need to. Hundley doesn't have that smarts just yet, and so I have a feeling that this season is now done. And it was a clean hit, too. You can't really be mad at the play. I don't know why Rodgers was upset when he got off the field, but it's...
Yeah, he was kind of he mouthed some dirty words at the Vikings defense.
Thought it was a clean hit, but it just...
Maybe they were celebrating that he was out of the game.
Yeah, that
probably
could be.
Were. That's one of the unfortunate things about the league is Minnesota has every reason to try to hurt Aaron Rodgers. Not that that play looked like they were trying to, but think how much better off they are in Minnesota now that Rodgers is out.
And look at how just inept the offense was right when Hundley went in. I mean, it took an interception to get it down to the 15-yard line in order to get any points on the offense. So.
How about Tony Romo steps right in from the booth?
No, I tweeted out, I hope to God that doesn't happen.
Do you think they stick with Brett Hundley?
I think they do. Packers rarely, if ever, I don't know if I've ever seen them go out on a limb to the free agent market for a starter mid-season. They might have done it in the offseason, but never mid-season.
But you just kind of laid out the differences in types of quarterback. You would think Romo fits that mold a little bit more than...
Would, but it would be a really big dagger if he ended up getting this team to the playoffs and having one of those choke jobs. I'd rather just keep Hundley in there, at least get him some reps in case this happens again.
If you think he can save the season and get you into the playoffs, then you should be for that move. What you're just saying now is... Yeah, it might work, and maybe he can help him, but then he would choke in the playoffs.
But Hundley's supposed to be the quarterback of the future, and I think you give him these much-needed regular season reps in order in
so
case...
So you're willing to write this season off?
I think it's written off. Obviously, you still have to play the games, but yes, I wouldn't say their hopes in the NFC North are very positive.
Well, sometimes the guys will surprise you. I mean, yeah, you could be really good as the backup and never see the field in Green Bay.
We'd be all right if we had a good run game, but you know, I mean, we have a bad offensive line with no run game with a quarterback who has very little snaps in the NFL. That's a recipe for disaster. And that's just what I'm looking at.
We've also seen guys on good teams, backup quarterbacks, that look good when they get a little bit of duty here and there, and then when it's there... Their whole ball of wax.
Yeah. They're not the guy.
Bad for the NFL, to be honest, because I turned off that game after I saw the last couple series. I had to turn it off. That's probably what a lot of people are going to do with the Packers. Play on TV a lot. They play on national television a lot, so that hurts the NFL.
Well, it's bad. Anytime they lose one of the star players, it's a Hall of Famer. It's a guy who makes throws that nobody else in the league makes at times.
Now, how would you feel? Because I have three friends of mine, PBA bowlers, that are in Milwaukee, and they all told me we want Kaepernick.
To take over in Green Bay now?
I would take... The publicity would be terrible for Green Bay if they did that because there would obviously be national media all over 24/7. But I think it would be a decent fit. I just don't like the Romo thing.
Wait, so you're pro Kaepernick?
I think I wouldn't mind Kaepernick. Yeah.
Romo's got a job now where he's probably making a couple million just...
Yeah, in the booth.
He's not going
to
be.
And I doubt he's really been working out to be. I mean, I'm sure he's working out, but not working out to be in NFL. And the one thing I was watching was Jim Trotter last night on Scott Van Pelt's show talking about how the success of the Green Bay system that really, I mean, how long are we going back here? I mean, if you want to go back before, you know, Rodgers was the quarterback with Favre, I mean, it's Cardinal-esque. Now, don't get me wrong. It's a different type of situation because you have two guys over the last, 25 years running the offense. But it's a very nuanced system that Mike McCarthy runs, and it's not necessarily something that just any quarterback can come in there and run, whether that be Tony Romo, Colin Kaepernick, or otherwise. And the reason why they run it so effectively, it doesn't matter if Jordy Nelson gets hurt, if Randall Cobb gets hurt, if Devontae Adams gets hurt, then somebody like Geronimo Allison pops up and has a huge game. It's because of the system, similar to what you've seen in New England. Tom Brady is the one person who's been there since 2001, but the pieces, with the exception of really Randy Moss and Rob Gronkowski, unless I'm missing an obvious one, I mean, Welker, I suppose, but the pieces haven't necessarily been Hall of Fame wide receivers like what we saw in St. Louis, but the system works. So it's I don't know whether it be Romo or Kaepernick or whomever.
Chase Daniel.
Okay.
And you never want to cater an offense to one specific player. Like if you go off and get Romo, you're going to have to cater to what he likes. Now, maybe good for the offense in the short term. But like I said, I ride with Hundley because he's been in the system for 3 years. So that's who I'm riding with.
It won't matter who they bring in.
No.
You're talking between Favre and Rodgers.
Worst offensive line
in the league. You're talking about two of the top 10 quarterbacks who've ever played. You're not going to get anybody who's going to make the throws and the plays that those guys make. You just won't. They were incredibly fortunate to have these two back to back. You're just not going to find people like that.
That's why I'm not devastated, because I've had great luck in my fandom to see Brett Favre in his prime and to see the emergence of Aaron Rodgers in his prime. So Aaron Rodgers missed, I know, most of the year in 2014. He's going to miss the rest of the year this year. But I've seen 10 solid years in a Super Bowl, so that's why I'm not, like, devastated. It's still disappointing, but, you know, his career is still far from over.
I felt that same way about Yo Murphy.
Yeah, number 83.
Yeah.
Boy, when he went down, I mean, this city just couldn't pick up its dauber.
Now, yesterday, I have a Sunday where I got nothing to do but hang with the boy. And we watched a little NFL, and I wanted to enjoy. I just can't. I'm trying.
Yeah, I'm right there too.
And it has nothing to do with any of the stuff going on now.
I'm so damn bad at DraftKings. Yesterday, actually, I was kind of like, "Ooh, it's 12:30, and I'm still not completely eliminated from everything." So I got to last until 1 o'clock under the guise thinking that I would be in the mix. Doug, who do you think were the best players yesterday on? Because that's why I watch, for DraftKings, the cat.
But that, that's almost like steroids for fans, in a way. You know what I mean?
No, so I wonder, like, you more.
If you didn't have your, I'll call it interest enhancers, you know? If you're not performance enhancers, interest enhancers, would you still be watching that product? And again, to me, it's based on them taking our team and leaving, you know? And it's hard. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to be Mr. Soapbox, because I don't tweet out empty stadium, I want to be a fan of the NFL, because I used to enjoy watching the games, and I just can't.
But now it's kind of like the NBA. When you don't have a real emotional interest in watching your team play, you can't help but lose interest in it. I can't anyway.
Bad product, too many injuries.
And when Mizzou is not competitive.
I agree with the injuries thing. When Mizzou's and not feeling like there's a flag every other play.
That hurts it. But even when Mizzou's not competitive, then I kind of lose college football interest in it. I need a team in it.
Yeah, I agree with you. Usually, like, that for whatever reason, I like college football, and maybe it's because it's kind of a debate-centric discussion. You know, it's not like, for example, and this is something that we discussed it a little bit last week. Georgia could be in this weird spot where they're undefeated going into the SEC championship game, like Alabama. As a matter of fact, I think you would consider that to be better than a 50% chance that both are undefeated going into, once Georgia got past Missouri, you know.
Yeah, that was a big hurdle for them.
But they've won at South Bend, a team that might wind up only losing one game in Notre Dame. They play USC this weekend, we'll see. But what happens if you have Georgia and Alabama undefeated, and then the one loss is in the SEC championship game? I think most people would agree that if Georgia were to beat Alabama, well, of course Georgia's in, but I think most people would still put Alabama in with a one loss. Mm-hmm. So then you could have two SEC, and then there's a good chance, by the way, because they seed them. Well, the number one would be the undefeated of the SEC, and the number four most likely would be the team that they just beat in the SEC. You could have the same kind of thing going on with the Big Ten, with Ohio State now. I don't know how the hell they lost to Oklahoma based on the way Oklahoma's played the last couple of weeks, barely getting by Texas this weekend and losing at home to Iowa State.
And the Pac-12 fell apart this weekend.
Yeah, with Washington and Washington State. My God. Washington State, a lot of people, I think, were going, that could be, that seemed a little bit shaky. But Washington, I thought, was hell. I mean, they'd been there. They have a great head coach and Chris Peterson. And, I mean, that looked like an average, you know, Big Ten team. I actually watched that game because I had cash on Washington. So that's my point on that. With the NFL, it's like, okay, you know, the Patriots have lost two games so far this season, but does anybody think that they're done? You know, in college football, you lose two games, you're done. I mean, Clemson right now and Washington, two teams that I think were thought to be essentially locks to get in there, at the very least, Clemson now don't have the luxury of losing again, or they're out. And then you do have this weird scenario in the SEC where you could have two teams undefeated in Atlanta, which would be incredible. Maybe one of the greatest SEC championship games of all time. But you also could see those two teams playing a month later.
Perhaps with so many teams falling out of the national championship picture so early in the season, that will be the impetus for them to expand the playoffs at the end.
Well, I think
keep more teams in it, keep more interest nationwide.
Just think about if Ohio State beats Penn State and you have these one-loss teams
in the Big Ten,
I mean, that you almost have to have a 6 or 8 team playoff at that point, at least a discussion, because I think teams are going to fall their way into the playoffs, like maybe a Georgia if they upset Alabama. And you have
at that point, Georgia's undefeated, assuming that they don't lose. They have to play at Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech took Miami down to the final seconds. I mean, not to say that, but Georgia is a team that I just didn't think much of going into the season, and shows how right I am on that. I mean, the top 10, do you know who the number 2 team in the country is?
Penn State?
Yeah, nicely done.
Really?
That kind of was like a random thing. It's Alabama, Penn State, Georgia, TCU. Wisconsin is undefeated, but they haven't played a top 25 team. And Ohio State felt like they were done a few weeks ago after losing at home to Oklahoma, 6. Clemson, 7. Undefeated Miami's behind, 1 loss to Ohio State and Clemson. Oklahoma, 1 loss, number 9. And then Oklahoma State, 1 loss. So theoretically, TCU still has to go to Norman, and then they would have to play Oklahoma or Oklahoma State, most likely, in the Big 12 championship game. So now the Big 12 might get penalized by having a championship game, whereas they haven't had one the last few years, and they feel like it's cost them.
It all makes perfect sense.
Right.
Just think, if you expanded the playoffs one more round to 8, you might have 15 to 20 teams that still think, hey, we got a shot with 1 loss, 2 losses. But now when there's just 4 teams, it's down to 5 or 6teams.
For example, Auburn, a team that people are like, this team could maybe make a run. They beat Alabama in the Iron Bowl. They're done. They're done now.
Yeah.
They've lost at Clemson, and now they lost at LSU after having a huge lead, and they're done. 5-2, their season is over.
And the idea of going to a bowl, that doesn't do it for fans anymore. They always go to a bowl. If you're a decent team, you go every year to a bowl.
Fans
get it.
That's
nothing.
Well, I guess Auburn could win the SEC championship, since one of their losses was out of conference. And if they beat Alabama heads up, I guess they would then, assuming that Alabama only has 1 loss and Auburn only has the 1 loss to LSU the rest of the way. Not that that's a guarantee, because of Stingray's Mississippi State squad lurking out there for all teams to deal with.
I disagree that the playoff should be 8 teams. It should be 16. Because that way, if someone is snubbed, at least it's further down the trough.
I like 10 with the first 2 would get a bye. So it's kind of like an 8 team. But, you know, if you go undefeated in the SEC, you know, and you're in the SEC, it would be cool to have a bye.
What if they're more undefeated teams? I just think the more teams you allow in, someone's going to get snubbed, but it's someone who might not have quite the resume to be one of the top teams.
Doug, if Georgia is in the SEC championship game, ATL will be so lit. Wow, that's from Eric in the CWE.
Whole state will be lit. I'm woke.
Are you lit or woke?
I'm woke. I'm woke to them being lit.
What is lit?
It's a pony.
Nice. I like the way you wrenched your neck.
Stay white pony.
I was up here on Saturday night having a drink.
Were you?
And then you know what we did?
Is the swinger section really hopping in that?
It's a patio. Come on out. The water's warm.
The swinger section has been moved to the patio?
I take a picture of the patio to say, hey, I'm out having a taste. I always like to hang out with, just like you. You like to hang out with the listeners?
Well, if I wanted to hang out with listeners, I'd go to jail.
Oh, my word.
Wow.
I'd see a lot of them there.
That is unfair.
So I'm on the patio having a taste with Anna Marie, and I took a picture of the patio, said, hey, come on up. The water's warm. And I didn't realize it, but when I took the picture, I took it from right back here, Doug.
Inside this.
For those of you watching on
MSNBC. Oh, you're on the patio proper.
On the patio proper.
Okay.
And I took a picture, and as it turned out, and I didn't realize this, one of the people in the picture, and I didn't get any faces.
Didn't want to be there.
No, but had his ass crack exposed.
Oh, no. Plumber's crack.
Right.
Well, you're not going to see that, but anytime you tweet out a picture.
Right.
Everyone investigates it like they're in the FBI.
So as it turns out, this gentleman is also a fan page member. And then he came over to me after he was done with dinner and said, hey, I just want to introduce myself. I guess he's interviewing for a sales job here also.
Oh, is he? That's why he was here.
I don't know. Maybe he just enjoys the delicious candied bacon.
Yeah, I don't think on a Friday night you would.
Saturday night, baby.
Saturday night.
Do we hire salesmen who reveal butt crack?
Clip that off. We can use it for the sales promo.
And was he aware that you tweeted out a picture?
He said, yeah. He goes, while we were here, I went on the fan page and I saw that I was getting lit up for having my butt crack exposed.
Well, why would he? Why would he do that? At a restaurant?
Don't you have bouncers at work?
People are eating at a restaurant?
We have heavies.
And this guy's got plumber's crack working? Come on.
You should know by now. They critique everything. I put up a picture. I was watching
But you did send me a picture where you're.
I didn't do that on purpose. I didn't. Well, but that was critique too. They look fart now. But a guy from the fan page lent me seasons 2 through 5 of The Wire. So I was watching it this weekend, and I just took a picture of my TV with The Wire up, and I said, enjoying, binge watching The Wire, and I had a little cup of Gerber strained peaches. I said, enjoying some strained peaches.
That's funny.
Everything was blown up. Look at Iggy's books. What are on these VCRs?
You can't do that.
How many golf clubs do you have? Look at dust your table. I mean, my God.
Let me tell you something. If I ever tweet out a picture from inside my house, it could be like a great baseball card of Ricky Horton. Hey, look, Tyler got Ricky or whatever. I make sure that I crop it so there is nothing in the shot.
It's a good strategy.
You will get full critique on everything. Oh, we get it. You can afford hardwood floors, and hardwood floors aren't nice.
They're very nice, yeah.
Hey, but here's the deal.
What people want now.
So Anna Marie's parents were over watching Jameson, and they said, stay out as long as you want, because we were like, oh, we got to get home. Felt bad. And we had only had just like a couple nips of the cooking sherry.
Okay.
And so we're like, let's go. It's 8:30, and at 8:30 in St. Louis, a lot of restaurants start shutting down.
Well, sure.
Phenomenal. But nonetheless, I had always heard about this Olive and Oak. Have you ever gone to Olive and Oak?
Is it some secret-y place?
Wait, is it Olive and Oak, or is it...
Is that the place we have to, like, reserve a table a week or so in advance?
I don't know, Plowhawk, but I thought...
I've heard good things.
You got to know the password to get in.
We're going
to Olive and Oak.
It's in Webster. And so I'm thinking, you know, 8:30, we might actually be able to get in, because at 8:30, like I said, places...
A little late.
Which is phenomenal. But nonetheless, the way things are, so it goes. So I said, why don't we shoot on over there? And let me tell you something. And I want to make this as crystal clear as I possibly can. It is the best cheeseburger I've ever had in my life.
What?
I swear to you. I swear to you.
Better than the Village Bar on Manchester?
Better than anything. I obviously have equity in the restaurant right here. Nothing against it. I enjoy the burger. I've gotten the candied bacon burger here. In-N-Out, Shake Shack.
Village
Steak
Bar?
And Shake.
You never been to the Village
I haven't,
Bar.
I've been to Village Bar. I haven't had the burger. So well, I need that. To put an asterisk. I'm well aware of that. And even, I understand they have crinkle cuts, which are important.
And even if Doug had the cheeseburger, I think he would stand up and proclaim, this is the greatest cheeseburger I've ever had.
Well, I don't know.
I had heard tell. And I don't know what's going on. All I know is it's the absolute best.
Yeah, but with the bun or without?
With the bun. Phenomenal. The bun's a key part of it, actually.
And you got in fine and everything?
We wound up hanging out at the bar and having a couple drinks before because of the Missouri game and the Blues game, and then they switched over to Cubs.
Let me tell you what's going to happen to your life.
Dodgers. So you know. Oh, my God. Plowhawk, you got to do it.
I'm going there this weekend.
Look at you. I thought you guys said it takes like 2 weeks to get a table.
Well, my girl's dad brought it up, and I think he knows somebody. So I think we're going to head up there Saturday. If all goes well. So he said it's great. The food's phenomenal. The atmosphere is good. So I'm excited. I like trying new things.
Do you?
Yes.
Tim Tim Burkhart, who is a loyal listener and also sponsor of a variety of the beverage alcohol sponsors you hear on the radio. You like that, Doug? Beverage alcohol? Dan Aykroyd.
I used it once this weekend myself.
Did it work for people? I bet people liked it.
No, they just kind of looked at it.
They kind of figure you're about a dyslexia.
Yeah, stop it.
He just said Olive and Oak equals currently the best restaurant in the state. I know it's one, I think, most outstanding restaurant in St. Louis. And
really?
It's in Webster.
Lockwood?
Lockwood, yeah.
I guess maybe
right across from CJ Muggs, maybe a little to the southeast.
Quadrant? To the southeast.
I think that's right.
Okay.
But holy moly, I'm just telling you. And that's the whole thing. Like, sometimes, and this is a part of the world that I'm not part of, which I'm... Mm-hmm. Glad, I guess anybody can choose not to be, where like a new restaurant opens up and then you gotta be there, even though like the plates are like, you know, very small, but you have to say how good it is, even though it's not. It's like when you go to a movie and they're speaking in British accents and you say how good it is, even though you're going, this is terrible.
I hate small plate. I hate
it's just not my bag. To each their own. And then like the drink scene in Clayton, again, to each their own, not my bag, baby. Not my bag. I'm Tam Avenue through and through. But this place, I'm telling you, whether it's the best, whatever, the burger, holy moly cockatoli. That's what I said. I said, holy moly cockatoli.
Now, can I tell you what's going to happen to your life later on? And it will happen, and you can say, just being Mr. Dad, blah, blah. But as Jameson gets older and you get to know him as a person, he develops his personality, your in-laws or whoever, your parents will say, hey, we'll watch Jameson. You and the wife go say, oh, let's go out to dinner. Mm-hmm. Hey, and you'll go, we miss Jameson. Let's go home.
No, Anna Marie said that, absolutely.
Yeah, that'll happen more and more as the personality develops, and you'll have the whole night to go out and shoot it.
And then they get to be about 13 or 14, and you'll say, let's leave now before they know where we're going.
Is that a shot at John Vaughn?
They'll never be able to find us if we leave right now.
Now, my brother just texted me and said he is friends with Mark, the owner of Olive and Oaks. Great guy, named Best Restaurant in 2016.
There you go, Doug.
Best in the state.
It just says
best cheeseburger in the state.
I'm telling you, though, for real.
I've had them all. All right, I'm going to try it.
How'd you get there? Did you shoot on over there?
I think we took Manchester eastbound to Barry southbound, left on Lockwood, so eastbound. I think that's what we did. Okay. Is that right?
How was your strained peaches dish? Good?
I didn't
get a dish. It. Don't say dish.
That was for Iggy.
Do restaurants really call their food dishes? They should stop it.
P.S. Tim, thanks for the kind words about the restaurant, man. We really appreciate it. Is this one of the owners?
Is it Mark?
Let me see him. The owner, I know a variety of guys. There's, I think, six partners. And then I guess I know one of them pretty well. And then I met another one on Saturday. But either way, the place is, I mean, for real. If we lined up, if we had best burger contest, I can't imagine something being better. Because like I said, Shake Shack and what's the other one? In-N-Out. But
you get over.
I think Shake Shack would probably be my
Shake
number
Shack's
two.
Shake Shack's great, but you go to that Village Bar and you soak in the ambiance.
I
got to
do it. I know. I've always said, especially since I live like a mile
from
there.
It's got two sides. One side is new and nice. We always go to like the old dive bar side. And it's kid-friendly. And there's sports galore, and they got the greatest cheeseburger in St. Louis.
I've never been there. I've driven past it probably 10,000 times in my life.
Well, stop it. Why don't we go in there after the show and get a drink and talk it over, figure out what we can do tomorrow?
Well, all right.
Oh, all right. Sweet. So we're going to get a nip of the cooking sherry and a burger at 10.
I'm kind of hungry, and a cheeseburger now has kind of made me hungrier.
Yeah, I guarantee if you went there, you would say that's a great cheeseburger.
I guess I'd go In-N-Out, Steak and Shake, Five Guys. The French fries are tough to beat, really, at all of them. You know, because you can get a T-shirt from In-N-Out for under $20, and that T-shirt will survive nuclear war. It'll last forever.
Least, right?
I mean, I still have that thing. You can't wear them out. They're awesome.
Night in Berkeley.
I mean, they're thick and they're solid.
No, no wonder you lost Saturday. Why don't you concentrate on football?
Okay,
go, guys. I'll pick up your drinks. That's from the recovering alcoholic from Belleville. Don't you think one of the owners of the property texts in is the recovering alcoholic?
Well, if that's the case, I'll be there Saturday. Hook me up.
I'll be there. Doug, at Olive and Oak, what is the best dish on the property? Thanks.
You know what I don't like? When the waiter comes over, and I like that they're engaged and they want to know how you're enjoying it. Most places will say, how is everything? But a lot of them will go, so how's it tasting? I don't know. I just find that.
Oh, is it tasting?
How's it tasting? How about just, how is everything? Great, thank you.
I went to a couple of restaurants this weekend.
Where did you go in Columbia?
Most likely to say, hey, you're not going to steal anything, are you? They come up, because there's a lot of people there drinking. You know, I'm sure things have disappeared. Hey, you're not.
And also, you've stolen breakfast many times.
I don't do that.
They probably, at restaurants, they probably have a picture of you, you know, wanted.
Maybe watch out
for this guy.
But that's a bad rap, because normally that's part of, you do charitable work for senior citizens, you get some eggs. Anyone need a ride to the bullpack? That's what I would ask.
What I love
and
is this happened 4 years ago.
Why don't you have some eggs?
And you're still trying to explain it away.
Well, that's how it all happened.
You can text in 855-282-8255, 855-282-8255. Doug, Ryan Kelly is the title sponsor of the show. Do you have any thoughts on him?
Well, my thoughts are that he's the finest mortgage lender in this nation. I would say coast to coast now. I know he's number one in the Midwest in loans closed. I'm saying he's probably number one in the country by now. Almost 70% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck and have less than $1,000 in their bank account. The Home Loan Expert team can help you save a few hundred dollars a month and skip a few months of mortgage payments. So let them help you stop living paycheck to paycheck. You would have thinking everybody would have refinanced by now, but Ryan says one of the biggest reasons people don't is that they're afraid their house won't appraise high enough and they won't qualify. But home values are skyrocketing, so maybe Even if you've tried in the past and your house didn't appraise, it will now. Plus, Ryan Kelly closes loans all the time without an appraisal, so maybe you won't even need one. Ryan Kelly and the Home Loan Expert team work hard so you don't have to if you're looking to refinance or purchase a home. Why would you go anywhere else? Call Ryan. I'll give the number now.
Do it.
314-781.
What's the problem?
Call Ryan. 314-781-9700. Or visit him online at thehomeloanexpert.com. That's Ryan Kelly, your home loan expert. That's who he is.
Yeah, he's the title sponsor.
Right.
Is what he is.
That's fabulous work.
So we want to make sure that people understand if they're going to be buying a home, if they're going to be refinancing, there's only one place to go, and that's Ryan Kelly.
I think we've made that perfectly clear. I've done it twice now.
Yeah, but I mean, you start like laughing in the middle of giving the phone number. And
the phone number gives me a hard time. It's kind of a tongue twister.
Seem to get a little phlegm buildup sometimes.
Well, that was Plowsy that just called.
Plowhawk to you.
99.
No. Plowhawk to you. Send your emails in. Hotshots email today. The morning after at InsideSTL.com. The morning after at InsideSTL.com. Doug, Mike Francesa.
No.
What?
What do you do now?
Somebody called in with a Mickey Mantle take.
Okay. All right. That's reasonable.
A fake take, right? I mean, no.
I haven't heard it. You got to listen.
And you know, I too used to chronicle Mickey Mantle. I was 10 years old, and he was the first greatest compiler that I ever saw. You know, those last 4 years from 28 to 30.
You're gone. You're a fool. You don't call Mickey Mantle a compiler on my show. I mean, go do it somewhere else. Mickey Mantle was one of the greatest players ever lived. Calling him a compiler just shows you what a dope you are. Brian in West Caldwell, what's up, Brian?
It reminds me of when somebody called in and accused Chasey Lane of going off the rails in the late 1990s, and I said, you don't do that on my show.
No, here you go.
Call into Bernie with
what's
that.
A
leave
compiler?
A Google voicemail.
Like a guy getting cheap stats. Meaningless stats.
That's what a compiler is?
Hitting solo home runs, so boy, that really doesn't count. There wasn't anybody on base. And I would think that's what a compiler is.
No, I just wanted to say hi, that's all.
That's it? Okay.
Just check in.
Good, see ya.
What's your take on Mickey Mantle?
He truly was one of the greatest of all time. Oh, yeah. Got robbed of some of his... Because of his knees and also his fondness for the... Alcohol didn't help him.
Beverage alcohol.
Yeah. But he was a great one.
He was true.
And then somebody called in acting like they were Artie Lang, friend of the show. Take a listen.
Artie in New Jersey. What's up, Artie?
Hey, what's up, Mike? Mike, I'm a longtime Yankee fan, but I got to tell you, and this happened in 86. I was listening at the time. I bet my buddy sausage and pepper sandwiches for the year that the Mets will come back and beat the Red Sox, okay? And now I got a year long of mozzarella and gabagool.
So you got it all ready for tonight, right?
Gabagool. I got my uncle, my cousin Jimmy,
right?
Is over. We all, you know, we used to go out to.
Who do you throw out of the house? There's got to be one guy you throw out of the house. Who's the guy you throw out of the house when things get bad?
Oh, Ralph.
Okay.
Ralph.
All right.
He goes for teams because of the uniforms.
Right,
there.
So you throw him out, right? He gets thrown out.
That's how he picks teams. He's crazy. And so I'm sitting here, right. And this team, the gritty teams I used to like were the teams of the Yankee team with Jim Spencer, Rudy May.
Right.
Rudy May would come in the second inning. He'd take the game of the eighth.
Right.
Martin would call on Rudy May.
Rudy May was good. Yeah, right. Yeah, it was good.
And Nettles, who I met when I was doing a show out in Vegas.
Nettles was great. Yeah. Yeah, he was really good. I mean, Nettles' play against the Dodgers that night, one of the greatest performances of all time. I mean, Guidry had nothing. He was on fumes that night. Nettles must have saved six runs. Preston Gomez turned to him during the game, the third base coach of the Dodgers, and said, "This is the single greatest game I've ever seen anybody play."
Frazier made a play that Nettles made.
Gotcha. We're done. Thanks.
Jeff in Syracuse, what's up, Jeff?
First off, I love the show.
Thank you. What's happening?
So sad to see you go.
What's happening?
I listen on the app every day. You know, the guy who called earlier about the meatballs and gabagool, it's Sour Shoes.
We all know who it was. You don't need to tell us.
Every time.
I mean, who cares? You know that? Who cares? Okay. Did you get me? We knew it was him. So, you know, sometimes we let him go, you know.
Was it Sour Shoes?
The Howard Stern character who can do impressions better. I mean,
that was unbelievable. By the way,
he does everyone though on that show's cast, and it's incredible. I mean, I don't know how I could tell the difference. I would never. I mean, that sounded exactly like Artie.
Yeah, it did.
And based on Francesa engaging in discussion of Greg Nettles in the, what, seven, was that the 77-81 World Series? I have no idea. I don't think Francesco
was the greatest single defensive performance I've ever seen.
Greg Nettles.
Yeah, against the Dodgers. I forget the year.
But that was at 81?
I don't know if he even remember the game.
He did save like six runs. I remember.
He made a lot of dive better than Brooks Robinson.
I honestly, I've said this to like Reds? Tim McCarver and like veteran play-by-play and color analyst guys, and they always say, you know, the greatest ever. You could talk Brooks Robinson, Mike Schmidt, Scott Rolen maybe, and I always go on Greg Nettles, and they're like, no. Greg Nettles was great. Sorry to go off track.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. That was part of the discussion on Sour Shoes' call.
I don't know what gobble ghoul is. What is it?
Well, you should. It's some sort of lunch meat. If you went to Geneseo State, I'd be embarrassed to say you don't know what that is.
What kind of lunch meat? I've never...
It's like some kind of roast beef. You watch The Sopranos. Yeah. Tony would always go in there.
Gobble ghoul.
Give me a gobble ghoul. Gobble ghoul. A steak pizziola.
Steak pizziola is like a cheesesteak, but with pizza trimmings, right? Mozzarella and... tomato sauce.
What does this text mean here? It's from the 314. White supremacist, red state hillbillies making fun of the big city folk. Great.
Oh, I know.
That's from Barnard Brawler.
It's from 314.
Sounds like something Barnard Brawler.
But now that I'm looking at the text history, it's interesting.
Probably Barnard Brawler.
Barnard Brawler's in, but somebody changed his name to Fan Page Crybaby or something. But I think he's back to Barnard Brawler.
Yeah.
I mean, you're from St. Louis, not French Lick. Hey, cat, have a catch of these nuts. Why would a Latino want to play in this land of diversity known as St. Louis?
Well, he seems to have an agenda on his text.
Yeah. People are effing idiots. That's the reason why we have President Dumbass. How do I miss these? These are all sent during our show, too. Sometimes I see one of these and I'm like, oh, they text in during a different show, and it kind of makes sense. But let's see. Plus, he hates you.
Our views are in lockstep with each other, too. We're just
absolutely
an echo chamber.
So people think we're white supremacists?
And I'm just the guy from St. Louis, even though I wasn't born here. By the way, Barnhart Brawler has a message for you, Doug.
What is that?
I can't read it.
F you, Doug. Sounds like F you, Doug. But it's a different phone number. The point, though, is it's a really different phone number.
Oh, so it's not really... Ow! Are you okay?
I hope I didn't.
You're
going to
go on the
worst paper cut ever.
Uh-oh.
Oh, did you get a paper cut?
Call Marlo.
God bless America.
Oh, don't get a paper cut.
Get Marlo.
God bless America.
Oh, don't get salt in there.
I think it's all right. Didn't break the flesh.
Okay.
Still, though, you might want to take a week as precaution.
Thank you very much. F that guy. That's from Brandon
in St.
Charles.
Wait, so the brawler is not the brawler?
That wasn't the brawler texting in and saying
I'm saying that because Doug said it must have been the brawler. But the one who did text in with a message for Doug was the brawler.
Well, I don't know if it was directed at Doug. It simply said white supremacist, state hillbillies making fun of the big city folk. Great.
The one that says... to Doug, F you. That was for Doug.
That was from the brawler.
I'm sure it was.
That was from the brawler, the one saying that we're white supremacists.
Right.
But it did prove that that's not the same phone number. I mean, I don't really think I'm a white supremacist. Oh, no.
It does seem like your team caulk a lot of the time.
Yeah. Oh, wow. You have nice, you have really beautiful feet.
I like that. Doug, it's pronounced Abba Ghoul.
Abba Ghoul, spell it for me.
With an Abba and a Ghoul.
Right. It's not Gaba, but Haba.
I thought it was Gaba Ghoul.
I don't know.
It's like Capicola is the actual meat's name. Because I remember when we were doing those remotes down at, where was that? That grocery store on the hill?
Gregorio's.
The Gregorio's.
The Gregorio's.
And I said, oh my God, I said, I can get some Gaba Ghoul.
Gaba. Yeah, but did you?
I didn't. I think I did.
Because I can't.
It's kind of like a spicy cold cut, I think.
Well, I sure would like to see it spelled.
More like Barnhart Crawler, whining baby. That's from Injun Joe's Cave Ride Magic Man. Injun Joe's Cave Ride Magic Man usually stays above the fray. He stays above the ruckus. He decided to enter in. That texter should stop listening, go back to reading HuffPost, grab one of his hipster tumbler glasses, and pour three fingers of bleach. Thanks. That's from Stubby Applause.
Well done, Stubbs.
Barnhart Brawler needs to pull his binky out of his butt and get a job. This is Reagan's America. That's from Baldwin Bottoms. Doug, you're ringing the bell. You never ring the bell.
No, that's you, I thought.
I don't know about Italian meats, but I have a gabagoo Doug can eat.
Okay, who would that have been?
Dave in St. Peter's? That,
I think he went off the rails there.
There's a picture of it.
Dave in St. Peter's has been suspended 2 days' time.
Well, you were right. It's capicolo.
Capicolo, and it gets down to gabagoo.
It's a traditional Italian and Corsican pork. It's cut from dry cured muscle running from the neck to the fourth or fifth rib of the pork shoulder on the neck.
And that sounds
great. And how do you say it, Iggy?
It's a neck muscle?
Capicolo.
No, the other name that Tony Soprano, because I remember hearing him say that. It did sound like he'd say gabagool.
Gabagool.
Yeah. And I typed in gabagool and it came up capicolo. It doesn't say how to pronounce it.
And it's neck muscle?
Somebody posted an article on the fan page just now how capicola became gabagool, the Italian New Jersey accent explained. And it cites Meadow Soprano, and you're friends with Jamie Lynn Sigler, are you not?
Yeah, that's from the Atlas Obscure. I'm looking at it right now.
Gabagool. Capicola.
How is Jamie Lynn Sigler doing?
I'm not friends with her. I interviewed her once.
Mozzarella became something like mozzadel. Ricotta became rigote. Prosciutto became prosciutto. See, prosciutto.
Right.
There is a mangling of the language in an instantly identifiable way. Final syllables are deleted. Certain consonants are swapped with others. Certain vowels are mutated in certain places. So that's how it became gabagool.
So someone needs to hold these Italian-Americans accountable.
Right, let's enunciate a little better, if you don't mind. Just for the rest of us, so we know what kind of lunch meat you're talking
about. Careful, because Tony Soprano's crew is still alive, and they'll come and get you.
Yeah, I think they will. Honestly.
The Morning After with Tim McKirkin.
Hey.
That happens amongst
the Irish as well.
Yep. They got that drop from the Tony Soprano ad agency. They probably swapped out.
Frank Cusimano.
How could you mispronounce Cusimano?
Well, there's no K. There's no second K in my name, I should say.
McKirkin. Tim McKirkin.
I think of Cusimano, I think of a kimono.
What did that, one of the guys that came after us called you Kernan?
Bubba the Love Sponge.
He called you Kernan?
That's right.
I think it would be nice to have a beginning billboard or sounder, whatever you call them, where they mispronounce all of the people's names who are on the show. I think that could be our calling.
Well, you got essentially 50% of the morning.
Break him out.
Right there, I can hear a voiceover guy. Yeah, Bubba the Love Sponge called me Kernan. And it was hilarious and wonderful.
I got to listen to his Ocala, Florida stories during my time at the
good
Mandalorian.
Good tales,
they were fun, and everybody in St. Louis was just really interested in those tales as well.
Mm-hmm. We don't get enough of it here. People in St. Louis, they don't really want to hear about the Cardinals or the Blues or Mizzou. They're more interested in the Ocala region.
Good for you for saying
high school sports and things like that.
You sit back and listen to Ocala, Central Florida. And then you get your gabagool, and you're all set for the day.
It's some pork neck.
Do people in St. Louis order gabagool? Do you think some there's some?
I got some at the Gregorios.
Did you say gabagool?
Gabacola. Gabagool. The gabagool is much more fun to say.
It is. It's fun to say.
The gabagool.
And all those Italian dishes when...
Let's say dishes.
All those Italian things.
You can say whatever you want to say, Iggy. Don't...
Well, it was all Italian, but when AJ decided to go drown himself... she put out some Lincoln Logs, which I believe are hot dogs and Philadelphia cream cheese.
Nurse?
All of the Italian things.
That sentence didn't make any sense. She went to kill herself, so she put out
Not
Lincoln
her.
Logs?
I just remember when AJ went to the pool to put a brick on his leg, Edie Falco, she put out, I made some Lincoln Logs, and then he went out to kill himself. That's not Italian, I don't believe.
What is a Lincoln Log?
It looked like hot dogs with cream cheese. And then Tony came in and ate one and went out to the pool and he saw AJ out there.
I played with Lincoln Logs all the time when I was a kid.
But never the food.
Not the food. I didn't know there was
a I'm sure the text line might put Lincoln Logs and you together in some fashion.
Well, is that what you're hoping for? Is that what you're encouraging?
No.
See, these are reasons why you were blocked on Twitter.
I was trying to figure out Lincoln Logs is all.
It's a fun kid's toy.
No, it's a food. Hot dogs and cream cheese.
That's what it looked like to me.
All right, guys, the first day Bubba the Love Sponge was on the air here, Rich from Maryland Heights managed to get through and called Bubba an ass.
Yeah, I happen to answer
the
that
only
call.
Highlight of his call-in career.
It wasn't good.
We've lost connections with him down in Phoenix.
Who, Bubba? He's in Tampa.
No, Rich.
Remember he called into Jim Rome? Somebody was filling in for Jim Rome. Remember he had a hot take? I forgot what it was about. We'll try to find that.
I miss his calls from the desert.
Became an Arizona Cardinal guy. Doug, TJ Moe is going to join us on the other side of the break. We get into that Missouri-Georgia game. Everybody's kind of still talking about.
Right. For the first half anyway.
Get you ready for Missouri-Idaho. They're thinking there might be 30,000 plus there on Saturday.
Well, it is homecoming.
What's the spread of that?
14. Missouri minus 14.
14 at home against Idaho.
I think I would take the Gers.
Yeah, I think so.
But who knows? I haven't gotten enough Vandals football this year to give you an official report. We got to take a break. It's Ryan Kelly morning.